New leadership at the American Pain Foundation. What's happening at 35,000 feet? What's happening at the grassroots when it comes to addressing and advocating for pain management in the United States of America? So joining us now, Eric Haupt, the new executive director of the American Pain Foundation, and Mary Bennett, the director of grassroots advocacy for that same organization. Welcome to the program, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us here.
Okay, well, Eric, let's start with you first. You just are very new to this position and still virtually new to the organization, only being there some 8 months. So how are things going as the new executive director at the American Pain Foundation?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been the executive director since January of this year, so still very new on the job. The APF is a great organization with a history of about 12 to 15, well, I should clarify for the edit, a history of about 15 years, and we are undergoing some very important changes. I think one thing that we've realized at the APF is that narratives really matter. And the narrative about pain care in this country is quite frankly, pretty negative. A lot of what we see in the media is all about, you know, misuse of pain medications. What's not being talked about enough are the legitimate issues of people who are suffering with chronic pain around the country. And there was recently an IOM report that many would be familiar with that talked about the 100-plus million Americans living with chronic pain. So this is a huge population. And so part of the change and the opportunity, if you will, for the APF in going forward has to do with really tapping into the many voices of people living with pain around the country. And so one of the things that we're really focused on is building a much stronger movement to really tap into those voices and fundamentally change that narrative.
Remind people about the mission of the American Pain Foundation.
We're an organization that's principally about the person with pain and their voice in this conversation. So we are really the leading organization in the country focused on the person living with pain, and for that matter, those people who are also affected, family members, friends. So we're talking about a vast number of Americans who are in either directly or indirectly are affected by chronic pain.
Now, Mary, you are literally in the grassroots.
That is true.
Of this endeavor as the Director of Grassroots Advocacy for the American Pain Foundation. Talk to us about what you're hearing. What kind of stories are people telling you?
Well, I think the overwhelming story that we're hearing that is of great concern to us is that at this point in time, people with pain are being abandoned by providers. Treatment options are being cut. So historically, the field of pain management has had many challenges and barriers in terms of lack of provider education, lack of believing the patient, you know, many institutional barriers. So just the whole thing of no pain, no gain, blaming the victim. So that's the history with this, but you add to that now the issue of state budgets being cut and the media frenzy about abuse and the confusion, a very, very damaging confusion about the difference between issues and addiction and what we need in this country to address that and legitimate pain patients who need compassion, skilled care, and to be believed, listened to, and have treatment options. So the thing that's wonderful with the American Pain Foundation is that many people who know how bad it is really want to be part of helping other people so they don't have to suffer. So we have this fabulous network of leaders who are ready to speak up, tell their story, whether it's to the public, to policymakers, different organizations, other groups, so that people really better understand how difficult it is in this country to be a person with chronic pain.
Well, Mary brought up, Eric, the prescription drug abuse controversy. How is that really making things more difficult, considering that whenever you have legislatures across the country passing bills where they try to address that piece of the problem, that it has unintended consequences for individuals who are suffering from pain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, it is a legitimate issue in its own right. It clearly is a problem in this country. I think the challenge we're facing is that it's being conflated and confused with the issues that Mary spoke about. And in fact, I think to some extent it's crowding out a discussion about the legitimate needs of people living with pain. So that's, it's creating, I think, a lot of confusion. And unfortunately, I think it colors the discussion about the right policies for people living with pain. So legislatures are acting on some of those, that narrative. And they have, clearly a public policy interest in acting on that. Unfortunately, though, it's sometimes going in a direction which makes it very difficult or, in fact, could be even counterproductive for people living with pain. So we're trying to make sure that that narrative, the one around the challenges that Mary describes, are dealt with directly. And so we've got to sort of tease apart these two different stories and make sure that the story around people with pain is heard, because this is an incredibly large population of people whose needs are often undermet or not met at all.
Mary, within the grassroots level, and the two of you have mentioned the role of physicians in this, I've worked with a medical society here in Kansas City back in the early to mid-90s, and it seemed like we were talking about the very same things. And now I hear this kind of echo some 10 or 15 years later when I'm with the Bioethics Center. Have we made any kind of progress at all?
Well, I think that's a question many of us are asking ourselves in the field right now, because I would say even 5 years ago, we were making progress. But as the media frenzy has been building over the issue of addiction, of medications, it's really, as Eric was saying, it's drowned out the real issues of pain management, and it's created a fear factor. So it creates, many things are driven by fear.
Well, we call it the chilling effect, and it's very much the same thing.
Exactly. So providers are there. There's crazy legislation that gets passed, which is confusing in terms of its intent and in terms of its implementation. And so providers are confused about where are those lines that they need to follow in terms of following their practice and the legislation. And so for many providers right now, instead of wanting to live with that confusion, they're actually abandoning patients. So that's where it's a time for us, and as we're refocusing our efforts, it's ever more important that we use the grassroots, that we raise awareness, that we do more outreach, more work with alliances such as Practical Bioethics and the efforts of Myra Christopher with the PAINS Project, so that we can really build a larger movement that exposes this issue for what it really is, how it affects people's lives, how it affects their livelihood. As Eric was saying, at least 100 million people are affected by chronic pain. That's more than heart disease, diabetes, and cancer combined. When you think about that, it's not mere numbers. It's people's lives. And affects the economy. So that's lost productivity, family, financial situations. It's up to what is it? It's like 500 an average.
More
of
than
like
$500
billion dollars annually,
right,
is the cost. So it's so short-sighted to look at this myopically from this fear perspective, whether it's providers, whether it's people with pain, whether it's legislators, but we need to pull out that larger view of the impact on people's lives, how we do know how pain can be treated in an integrative way so that we save people's lives, so that we save the economy of those individuals, families, and communities, so people can be a contributing part of society.
Mary, you've got a passion about this. Well, the idea of a voice and amplifying the voice, and Eric, a project at APF, you're launching that or starting to get that underway. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and it keys off very much of the messages that Mary just eloquently spoke about. What we intend to do at the APF is really launch a much broader scale movement around issues for people with pain. And so we want to tap into those voices. We want the voices of millions of Americans to be heard. We want to capture those in a meaningful way. So we are building a platform where we can share those stories, not only collect them, but ultimately create a picture for policymakers and other decision makers to really understand what's going on in pain care in this country. Another key component of this campaign will be allowing people to be connected in real time to local resources. So it's not only about being heard, it's about being connected. Because we know that in this age of the internet and social media, you know, that level of connectivity is critical. So we want to create a platform so that people can find those resources in real time. That really from the top down, it's very hard to know all the things that are going on. But from the grassroots, if we tap into that, we're going to have the basis of something very powerful in this country.
Let's finalize this by being a bit visionary. And before we started this recording, I said I would ask this question about what would things be like, what would our society be like if we were able to be completely successful and everybody in America who was in pain was able to get the treatment that they needed? Mary, what kind of place would that be?
Well, I think of a campaign that we did recently called If I Lived in a World with Less Pain. And I think of people's personal stories that were so powerful in terms of talking about what their lives are now and the barriers that they deal with daily and what it would be like if those people in pain, if their lives were unlocked by relief so that they could be who they could be, contribute what they can to society. So the cost of families, the cost on families in terms of pain would be relieved so that people could be productive, people could be in grandparents could pick up their grandchildren, you know, instead of flinching at the idea of it if they got proper treatment. I think also from the perspective of providers, I think it would be much more satisfying to know that people are being able to use an integrative pain care treatment options so that those options could be maximized to really help their patients. So I think from the provider side, I think from the patient, person with pain side, economic side in terms of addressing the cost, there would be such more possibilities, I think, is for people to be able to be fruitful with who they are and what they can contribute in the world.
Mary Bennett is Director of Grassroots Advocacy. Eric Health is the Executive Director of the American Pain Foundation. Thanks to you both and good luck.
Thank you very much.
I'm Laurel Abou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.